Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 8, day 5 of our study of the book of Daniel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're looking at Daniel chapter 10, starting in verse 15, going through 21. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're going to be finishing Daniel chapter 10, where it's really kind of a preamble to the revelation that this angel is going to give to Daniel. Before we jump into that, let's pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and touch our hearts. We want to know you more, not just more about you, but we want to know you more. We want to encounter you and meet with you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, why don't you join me as we jump into God's word? I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Daniel chapter 10, starting in verse 15. While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face to the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips and opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, "I'm overcome with anguish because of the vision, my lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe." Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. "Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed." And he said, "Peace, be strong now, be strong." When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Speak, my lord, since you have given me strength." So he said, "Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return and fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince." All right, so a lot of things very quickly happening here is, you know, Daniel is trembling and so he bows down. He doesn't know what to say. So the angel, this one that he says looks like a man, this angel is standing before him that he's already described early in the chapter. He comes up and he touches him and he has him come up and speak. So the Daniel asks his question is like, what does this mean? This vision that I had, what does it mean? Like, I don't even know what to do. And then again, this angel says, oh, the most powerful thing. "Don't be afraid, you who are highly esteemed." And Daniel gains so much strength. He says, "Peace, be strong." But this highly esteemed, again, like, I don't know if I would hear anything that the angel has to say after that, because that would blow me away. "You who are highly esteemed." Isn't that the thing that we all want to hear from the Lord? We want to hear, "I like you. I really, really like you." That is an amazing statement. I think the Lord, I think most people really struggle. Not everyone, but many, many believers, I would say a very large percentage of believers, really struggle with their identity in God. They would view themselves as a sinner, a horrible, dirty sinner who struggles to love God. And they just don't know, does God really like them? Does God really care about them? Does God really want to know them, or is he just mostly irritated with you? Is God mostly kind of miffed about having to deal with you one more time? I think that's most people's experience. That's how they think God feels about them. But I think in truth, most Christians who have said yes to Jesus, this is more how God feels about us. And I'd say instead of a sinner who struggles to love God, I think the appropriate understanding is a lover of God who struggles with sin. Yes, I struggle with sin. Yes, I keep screwing up. But more than anything else that defines me, I am a lover of God. I love the story in the Gospels when Peter encounters Jesus and they've been fishing all night and they can't catch anything. And Jesus tells them, "Hey, put the nets out on the other side of the boat." And they do it. And when they pull up, I mean, what does it matter what side of the boat? You know, the fish swim underneath, you know. So they put it out on the other side. They're obedient. When they haul it up, it's like breaking their nets. And Peter drops it right there. He's like, at that point, he's like, "I don't care about the fish anymore." And he comes and he falls down at Jesus' feet. And he says, turn your eyes away from me. Look away from me, from a sinner. And Jesus, like, no way. No way. Like, Jesus looks at him. Jesus addresses him. Jesus isn't like, yeah, you're right. You are a dirty sinner. And look what I just did for you. Prove who I am. That's not who he is. Jesus accepts Peter. Peter was obedient to Jesus and God accepts him. If you have said yes to Jesus, if your allegiance is to Jesus, if you've pledged your heart to him, he may have, like in the book of Revelation, an issue with you here, an issue with you there that he's going to be working on. The Lord is always working on and sanctifying us. But he doesn't look at us with disappointment. He doesn't look at us mostly with anger. Those of us who have accepted Jesus. He looks at us mostly with joy. Mostly with honor and respect. And that's a powerful thing to change in our mindset. It will change the way we live before God if we can see ourselves as lovers of God, people who genuinely love God but struggle with sin. And it goes back to when Peter, when Jesus asked him three times after he denied him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And the third time, it says Peter was offended and he says, you know everything. You know that I can't hide this from you. You know that I love you. Peter had amazing confidence in his genuine love for God. Oh, if we could only have that kind of confidence. We don't always get this kind of word from the Lord like Daniel did here. But I believe that scripture bears out that those of us that say yes to Jesus, he would say the exact same thing to us. I don't think Daniel is unique in this. He's unique, and then it would be really cool to hear this from an angel, wouldn't it? But he's not unique in how God feels about him. I believe God feels the same way about you and I. So he gives us a very interesting bit of information. He strengthens Daniel and then he tells him, hey, you know, I'm going to return and fight against the prince of Persia. And again, like, how do angels fight? What does that look like? Are there swords? You know, that's who he was detained by. And Michael came and released him. So now he's there and is like, now I got to go back. It's like, is there no other way to get back to heaven except going through wherever these Persian demons are? Like, how on earth does any of this work? And then he says, when I go, the prince of Greece will come, meaning there's going to be another demonic push to bring in this nation of Greece. And Daniel's already knows that it's been prophesied to him. It's been told to him by an angel that, you know, there's Babylon, there's Persia, which he's in now. It's the nation he's in now. And then there's going to be Greece is going to come. And then eventually this other fourth unnamed empire that we can, with hindsight, look at and say, well, that's definitely Rome. All these four kingdoms are kind of like in the succession. And one very important thing to note about that is it's not that they're just arbitrary kingdoms that are on the earth. They're four kingdoms that are oppressing and taking over the land of Israel. This is very Israel and Jerusalem centric. So it's all about Israel and specifically Jerusalem. These four kingdoms will be four kingdoms that occupy and oppress Jerusalem. There's going to be lots of other worldwide kingdoms and dynasties and things like that that come up. But in this foreseeable future here that Daniel's having, it's just specific to Jerusalem. We have to keep that in mind. The last thing that I find interesting here is he says that only Michael supports me. So this is like this angel has been sent to like do battle with these demonic kingdom makers or however that works. And he's like, Michael's the only help I've got. The archangel Michael is the only help I get in all of this. I'm not even sure why that matters, that we should even know that, but it's in there. It's in parentheses in the NIV and probably several other translations, meaning there's some funny business going on here. You know, it's like a lot of times parentheses will mean there was it was possibly added later, or it's some kind of aside. Something about the grammar in the original text causes them to put parentheses around this for a specific reason. Parentheses were not in the original text, so this is there to kind of help us better understand. There's something interesting going on with the original text, but it's complicated. And so I encourage you, this is like one of those places where it's kind of cool to like bounce around between different versions of scripture to read the commentator's notes on why they did this. I'm going to leave you to drill into that if you so desire. This is just one of those places, I'm kind of throwing that bone out there, where you can kind of glean a little bit of information how translating things might be a little difficult for the translators. But at any rate, it's just this angel and Michael, the archangel, and they're the ones fighting these battles for some reason. Where all the other angels are at, I don't know. Why they're not called up into battle for this, I don't know. But they must be like some serious Chuck Norris ninja level angels if these two guys are taking on all of the Persian and Greek demonic system. I find that really fascinating, and I look forward to one day getting to meet these angels in eternity and getting to understand fully how all of this works. Because as of right now, I've read a ton of stuff about angels, and I feel like I'm no further along at truly understanding how any of this works. But I do know that angels are really powerful, really cool, and as they told John, they're our fellow servants. So we are all serving the one true God together. And that feels pretty cool to get to be serving God side by side with angels. Whether you see them or not, whether you know about them or not, they're there. They truly are. I don't know if everyone has a guardian angel. Maybe some people have two or three. I don't know how that works, but they're there. And they're powerful, and I think it's pretty cool. And I think on that, we'll end for this week. Next week, we'll jump into the angel's revelation of this vision that Daniel had. But for the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. I can't wait to see you next time.